Hello, I'm Chaplain Bonnie Gregory, and today I'd like to come to you in the name of Jesus and share with you a message that God has given me for our nation at this time. I pray that you'll take this time to listen carefully what we can learn from God's Word of past experiences in nations and see what's happening in our nation and see what God has to say about it and the remedy that God has for a nation that is in trouble. And that's my title of the message today, Trouble in the Nation. Lord, we pray that today you give us revelation knowledge from your word, that you give us hearing ears and receiving hearts to what the Spirit of God would say to us. And Lord, if there be a man or woman in this listening audience that does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I pray that right now, Lord, they will receive Jesus and make him the Savior of their lives. Lord, I pray for salvation for the lost. And we ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Today I'd like to read out of 1 Samuel, and I'd like to read from chapter 17. But before I read this portion of Scripture, I'd like to say something to you. See, we are rapidly approaching the time when a great many prophecies concerning the winding up of this age will be fulfilled. And if we look forward to the coming of Jesus and the great tribulation judgment and the fulfilling of God's plan for Israel and the kingdom age, we can get clear ideas of these things by looking back at the patterns of them which are furnished in the Old Testament history. And that's what we're going to do today. And I want to read a portion of Scripture that most of you have heard in Sunday school since you were little children, and you know this story very well. But today I want you to see it from a different aspect, a different look, if you will. Please stay with me. In 1 Samuel, and I want to read right here from 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I want to read verse 10. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Now notice that this is talking about David and Goliath. The Philistines has come up and confronted the nation of Israel. And this is what the enemy is saying to God's mighty nation. It said, let me read it again. And the Philistines said, speaking of Goliath, I defy. Or I challenge the armies of God, of Israel this day, give me a man that we might fight together. He's saying, this is what you're going to do. Now listen to what happened when the mighty army of God heard these words from this giant of a Philistine, this giant that come up to defy and challenge their army. This is what they did when they heard him say this. Verse 11. When Saul and all of Israel, listen, when Saul, their king, and all of Israel, the ones that were following him, the ones that were there, heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. In other words, they were greatly troubled and they were greatly worried. When they heard what the Philistine, what Goliath said, the nation became troubled and they become wearied. Does that sound like anything that we're hearing today? You see, let me tell you about something. This time in the history of Israel, Saul was king over Israel, but he at this time was a rejected king. Why? Because, see, Saul was told to run the enemy completely out of the land, but he failed to do that. He picked and he chose, I'll do this, I won't do this, I'll just say this part. And he did not follow God's instructions. And he chose to rebel against the word of God, and that wasn't the first time he'd done it. He willfully, knowingly turned his back on the command of God and did what he thought was right in his own eyes and didn't do what God had told him to do, and he was rejected. He was rejected of God. God said, it'll come a time when your kingdom is taken from you because you have refused to hear my word and do what I tell you to do. See, when a nation rejects the hand of God, the nation rejects the hand of God that protects them. Let me repeat that. When a nation rejects God, A nation rejects the hand of God that protects them. Anytime a nation willfully refuses to obey God and His Word, then they willfully reject His protection and His divine order for their land. And that's what had happened in the country at this time. And when a nation is under a leader that is a rejected king who has rejected God, there's trouble and there's worry in the land. And you see, it brings unbelief. And unbelief brings fear, and fear produces cowards. In this scripture I just read you, the Bible says that the army was greatly afraid of the words that the enemy said. You see, when you have a leader that won't lead his people to follow and respect God, then they themselves begin to walk in fear, because that's what they're offered to walk in, not the faith of God in victory, but then they begin to walk in fear, and then they get in trouble. Let me tell you what had happened in the land. Saul had a great army. Saul had the ammunition. Saul and his army had great armor. Saul and his army had the ability to defeat this great army of the Philistines and this giant Goliath. But, they had all these things, but nobody had a plan to come against them. It was all, well, what are we going to do? The king said he would do this if you would do this, and if anybody would fight this man, he would get this. There was just talk and no action. Let me ask you a question. Have you heard that lately? Listen, Saul and his army was content with merely a defensive position and never attacking. In other words, they were allowing the enemy to come up in their camp and dictate to them what they were going to do. Notice this, that each day Goliath would come down out of his camp and come in and get close to the camp of God, and then defy and curse the army of God, and then begin to set conditions for them, tell them what they were going to do. Goliath said, now this is what we're going to do. You pick a man and let him come fight me. And if he whoops me, we'll serve you. But if I whoop you, you got to serve us. He set conditions for Israel. That should never happen in a mighty nation, a nation whose God is God, a mighty nation. That should never happen, that an enemy would come in their own camp and tell them what they're going to do and set conditions for them in their own camp. Does that sound familiar today? And they chose to fight might in the flesh and not in the power of the Spirit. You see, when you leave God out, everything you do is flesh, and flesh comes to naught. See, if a country and a nation turns their back on God, they have no spiritual insight. And God can give us the victory if we will allow Him. Now, let me tell you something. Your enemies can defeat you if you believe their lies. Because then, when you believe their lies, words will dismay you. A nation, a mighty nation, can never be defeated. Any family, an individual can never be in bondage unless they believe the lies of the enemy. If you believe the lies of the enemy, what the enemy is telling you, then the enemy can come in and take over your land, take over your life, take over your family. But you've got to choose to believe the word of God over the enemy of God. And Israel had failed to do that. They believed the lies that what Goliath was telling them. Goliath was telling them, I'm bigger than you, I'm mightier than you, and if you don't do this and this and this, we're going to do this. And in other words, you're defeated before you even start. And Israel believed that lie, and Israel was afraid, and they couldn't fight, and they were held captive by this big guy spitting anger and spitting cursings at them, and they believed it. But one day, aren't you glad for that one day? One day, a father came to his son and said, go up and check on your elder brothers who's fighting with a fight with Saul and see how things are going. Well, this young lad was a shepherd. This young lad's name, and we know his name was David. And let me tell you something about David. Prior to this time, David had been anointed to be one day to be king over Israel, because God knew he was going to have to raise up another man to replace Saul when Saul finally fell into the defeat that he was doomed for because he wouldn't hear God's word. And David, knowing that one day he would be king over Israel, but he knew his timing wasn't yet to come, and he went back to the work that he had always had, keeping his father's sheep, and he was waiting on God's timing. I admire a person that knows God's timing. But he obeyed his father, and he went up into the land, and he went to take provisions for Saul's army and for his brothers. And when David got in there and he saw all that was going on, he said, why are you allowing this uncircumcised heathen come up in your camp and defy the armies and curse the living God? Why are you afraid of him, and why is this happening? America, why don't we ask that question? Why don't somebody stand up and say, why are we allowing the enemies of our nation and the enemies of our God, Jehovah, why are we allowing them to come in and tell us what we're going to do and setting conditions for us? And why is this allowed to go on in our country? Why? And that's what David asked, why? Never one time in 1 Samuel chapter 17 of the story of David and Goliath, never one time did David ever call Goliath a giant. He never said this giant. He never called him a giant. He called him an uncircumcised heathen. Oh, I like that. He called it what it was. He wasn't big and mighty in the eyes of David because David had faith in God. He was big and mighty in the eyes of the nation of Israel because they doubted God. And when you doubt God, your enemies are always going to be bigger than you. You see, when words will dismay you when you're walking in unbelief. Then David said this. He said, wait a minute. He said, if you're looking for somebody to fight, I'll fight. Oh, and boy, did that ever start an argument in the camp? First of all, I want you to hear when David said, a young shepherd boy in the face of a whole nation, he said, listen, if you won't fight, I'll go fight him. Here, a young lad, a young shepherd boy in the face of a whole army said, hey, I'll go fight Goliath. If you don't want to fight him, I'll fight him. And he said, let me tell you my qualifications for fighting. He said, one day I was watching my father's sheep and a bear came up and I killed him with my own hands. Another time I was watching my father's sheep and a lion came up and I killed him with my own hands. He said, the battle is not my battle. The battle is God's battle. And why, let me ask you this question. Why would David fight over one sheep if a bear came up? I mean, you know, what's one sheep? He knew that if you let the enemy come in one time, tomorrow he'll come down and get another and another and another. And first thing you know, you'll be sheepless in your country. Amen. Man, come on. He had no sheep. You have no sheep. If you keep letting the enemy come in, take a little here, a little there, a little here, a little there, letting a bear come in. I want you to think about a bear. Who is the bear? Letting the lion come in, a little here and a little there. Take a little freedom here, a little freedom there. First thing you know, you have no flock anymore. You have no freedom. You have no rights. They all been taken one by one by one because you didn't stand up the first time the enemy came into your camp. David said this. He said, he told the whole nation, he told King Saul, he said, don't let your heart fail. Don't let your heart fail today. And he said, because God's going to prevail. And that's what I'm telling you today. Don't let your heart fail because God will prevail. All right? They sent him to Saul. And before he went to Saul, his brothers, who was there the day that David was anointed to be king over Israel, this is what his eldest brother said to him. He said, listen, I know your pride and haughty spirit. And he said, what do you think? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to come up here and fight? I know you, and I love. And then he looked at him and he said this. He disdained his own brother, who he knew one day would be king over Israel. He disdained him and made fun of him. And this is what he said. Who did you leave your few sheep with. Oh, he made David look small in the eyes of the other people. But I like what David done. The Bible says he just turned to another. In other words, he didn't let the words dismay him or stop him from going, even though it was from his own brother that said that. He just turned to another and said, hey, I'll go fight this giant. Let me have at him. So they took him to Saul, his king. And when David told Saul, his king, said, I'll go fight Goliath. Let me go fight him. This is what his king told him. He says, you're too young. You're underskilled, you're underage, you're underskilled, and you're underdressed. Now, isn't that some words of encouragement before you go into battle? In other words, you're too young to fight, you don't have the skills, and to top it all off, you're not dressed properly. You don't have the right armor on. You know, it's amazing that a king of a nation with a mighty army would be up in a young boy's face that was willing to at least go give it a try, and him trying to tell him what he can't do. You know what? Let me tell you. Listen to this carefully. People will tell you how underskilled, how too young or too old or too whatever, or how you're not dressed or you can't do this. They'll tell you all the things you can't do because you know why? That's what's in their life. Saul told him the same things that was in his life. He was underskilled, Saul himself, because he wouldn't obey God. Let me tell you something. People that disencourage you, you got to walk away from it. But that didn't stop David. He said, listen, I'll go fight him. And then the Bible says this. I love this part. When they finally let David go, he went and picked up some stones. And he ran toward the camp. He ran toward Goliath. In other words, he wasn't letting Goliath come up in the camp anymore. He was running toward Goliath himself. And when Goliath saw him, let me tell you what he said. He said this. He cursed David. He cursed him, and he said, what am I, a dog that you come out with me with stays and stone? He said, he cursed him. And he said this. He said, today I'm going to take your head off. Today I'm going to give your carcass to the fowls of the air. Goliath said to David, I'm going to give your carcass. I'm going to give your carcass to the fowls of the air. And you know what David said to Goliath when he said, I'm going to give your carcass to the fowls of the air? David turned around and told him the same thing. He said, I'm going to give your carcass to the fowls of the air, and then I'm going to take your head off. And guess what? He slung that stone, and he did exactly what he, as he was cursing God, as the cursings was coming out of Goliath's mouth, the stone was hitting Goliath right between the eyes. And let me tell you something. What you do in your time of praise and worship is going to show up on the battlefield. One shepherd boy changed the course of a nation. And let me tell you something, let me tell you something today. One course, one person to stand up in faith can change the course of a whole nation. One person to stand up and say, hey, we don't have to take this, can change the course of a nation. And I'm looking for some Davids to come up out of the sheep's pasture today and make a stand for God. This is what God gave me, a prophecy for America, and I want you to hear this carefully. And I wrote it down so I would get it right. God is calling a faithful people from the pastures of faith, where they have been faithful to praise, to pray, and to fight when no one was there to watch. Their praise and prayers have been in faith and has been for God, and their battles have been won by God. And all has been for the praise of God and not for the praise of men. For such hidden warriors have been trained for mighty warfare. It has been because of their hunger for God, and it is that hunger that the Holy Spirit will cause them to be mighty in these last days. For God's word states that they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. They will go forth and teach the army of God that their hearts need not fail, for their God will prevail. God said he is not a man. He is not a run and hide God. I want to repeat that. God said he is not a run and hide God. America has cursed him. America has mocked God, plotted against him and his church. They have paraded their so-called politicians and Hollywood Goliaths before him and has defied him and his army. The Lord now sends a warning that the day will soon be that all the earth will know there is a God in America, for the shepherds of the kingdom are coming, and their stone they have with them is the stone that the builders rejected, which is Jesus Christ. And their cry of the army will be, the battle is the Lord's, and he will give the victory into our hands. And let me tell you something, nation. David said, before he went to fight Goliath, he said this, all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel. And when David got through with the fight that day, all the earth knew that there was a God in Israel. Because when David ran up on Goliath and he did exactly what he said he was going to do. I like that. Don't we need a leader to say this and this and this and do exactly what he says he's going to do? David did exactly what he said he was going to do. He said, I'm going to give your carcass to the fowls of the earth. I'm going to take off your head, and all of Israel will know there's a God in Israel. All the earth will know that. And that's exactly what David did. He ran with the stone he had. He let it go because he knew the battle was not his. The battle was God's. And that's something we as a nation has got to know, that the battle is not ours. We've got to turn back to God and know that the God will give us the victory in our country if we, like David, can stand forth in the power and anointing of the Holy Ghost and say, hey, our God is mighty. And we got to tell the people, don't let your hearts fail, because God will prevail. We need to call ourselves, you that are listening, you need to say, hey, this is the day that I'm turning my heart toward God, and I'm calling for revival in our land, and I want it to start with me. Somebody, the revival has to start somewhere with somebody. So why not it start right here, right now, with you and with me? I'm calling on the Davids to come up out of the sheep's pasture, the ones who have spent their time in worshiping God, not for the praise of men, not for counting nickels and noses, but counting victories. Oh, that's what we need to get with a group that's not counting nickels and noses, but are counting victories. How many victories are you seeing in your life? How many victories are we seeing in our country? We need a call back to repentance. We need a call back to our God. We need men and women who are not afraid to stand forth and say, hey, God, the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And verse 50 in that 17th chapter said, and David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. In other words, it didn't take great military know-how. It just took somebody with faith in God. God can take what a mighty nation we have, what a wonderful nation we have, and God can anoint that and use what we have. But we as Americans and we as God people have got to stand in faith and come forth and declare, we will not believe the lies of the enemy. We will not fall into his hands, and we will not serve him. And let me tell you something else. Goliath said, if you destroy us, we'll come serve you. Guess what? When Goliath was defeated, the armies of the Philistines, they ran the other way. They didn't run toward what the enemy is not going to keep his word to you. The enemy will lie to you to get you to do what they want you to do. They are not going to keep their word. You can't believe the lie of your enemy. And if you do, you're a very, very, very foolish person. You got to stand in faith, and you got to believe the word of God, and you got to make a stand against the enemies of your faith. And you can't let the enemies of your faith come in and make you disbelieve in God. But we got to stand. I believe that if we'll make a stand in faith and the love of God, and we'll stand for what is right and for what is true, we can see a revival that will sweep from the East Coast to the West Coast, from the North to the South, the East, the West, the North, the South. God will bring in revival. But my friend, it's got to start with you, and it's got to start with me, and it's got to start right now. We can't put it off any longer. We have put it off long enough. Today, I pray that we'll pray for our nation. We'll pray for our leaders, and we'll pray that God will tell us what to do. And the stone which the builders rejected are two things. If you'll receive it, which is Jesus Christ, you can build on it, but if you reject it, it will grind you to powder. Today, we go with the stone that is Jesus Christ. And He is our victor today, and we need to follow Him. Lord, I pray for this congregation that's listening. I pray You send me helpers that will say, Blonnie, I'm coming to You, and I'm going to join faith with faith. And I believe that we're going to see revival in our land. Let it start right here. Let it start in our state. Let it start in our community. Let it start in our families and in our homes. Let it begin right now. Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name that You touch hearts and You turn our great country around. Give us jobs in our country. Bless us and help us to recognize Your mighty hand of mercy and grace that's been on our country for all these years. Lord, we pray and ask for a turning tide in our country, that, Lord, You come down and overshadow us, protect us, and keep us, and protect our young. And we pray it and ask it in Jesus' name. I'd like to hear from you, and I ask that you send me letters and your prayer requests. I'd love to pray for you, and if you'd like a copy of this message, you can write me, and I'll send you out a copy. I'd be glad to. The announcer will give you my address, and I ask that you keep on praying for me as I go out across this country proclaiming the Word of God. That's my desire, and that's my prayer, that I can preach the Word of God across this land, and that I can see, and I believe I'm going to see a great revival in our country. And I believe America can come back to God. And I believe we can have victory after victory after victory in the name of Jesus. Don't forget David, the mighty warrior of God, who knew the battle was not his, but the battle was God's. And you can be that same one today if you'll stand in faith and come out and know that with God, all things are possible. God bless you, and I want to thank you for listening to the broadcast today, and may you have a blessed and a wonderful day in the sweet name of Jesus. Thank you again for listening, and God bless.